God is good, church. That was good for me, but if anybody knows the name of Jesus, oh, come on, could we give Jesus a shout of praise this morning? He's been too good. He's been too awesome. He's been too faithful. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we praise you. Shiloh, it is a pleasure to be with you all this morning. You all may be seated. I'll invite you to stand when we jump into the word, but I promise I'll stand more than you today. The last time I got to be here was around 2021 for Back to School Sunday. A lot has changed in that time, but one thing remains: the Lord is still good. The Lord is still faithful. I bring greetings from Church of the City, your sister Baptist church across the street. And what a gift it has been over these past few years to collaborate, to partner together to see the will of God in New London as it is in heaven. We got to spend Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday working together with your kids. I didn't know if I'd have energy for today, but the Lord gave a second win. And I'm so grateful to be here. Bishop, thank you so much for the opportunity. Could you give it up for your bishop, your pastors? Bishop, when I think of you, I think of faithful. I think of faithful because it takes a lot of work to remain in a community for so long. And to see that times change, people change, seasons change, but it takes faithfulness to see the Lord at work from generation to generation to generation. Now, I see the time clock on the screen, so we're going to jump into the word this morning. We're all Baptists, so we know church could go till 3 p.m., but we ain't going to do that this morning. Listen, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. I invite you to stand with me. As you're turning there, I think the task of the preacher, bishop, oftentimes is to make clear the text that we will read. To invite the congregation to imagine, to see the goodness of God. To see that words in a sacred text might still have application today. We get to do that, but there are some texts that don't need a preacher. There are some texts that speak for themselves, and I think Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 is one of those texts. So I'm going to do my best to preach this, and y'all got to help me in the process. But I know, like many times before, there's something about this text, something about the Lord's invitation to be strong and courageous that grips us, something about the Word of God being alive and active, able to speak to us even here, that we can trust the Lord in. Because when God speaks, it's worth our attention, it's worth our time, it's worth our care, it's worth our admiration. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, this is the NLT version. The Bible says this: after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. I promise you what I promised Moses. Moses is dead, but I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all of the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, right? Like we sang in worship, we will follow Jesus. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so, God, we trust you this morning. We believe there is a word, an on-time word for your people. So thank you for the privilege and grace that it is to dive into your word. Help us to see you, Jesus, in your son's name. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, as you're seating, I want you to tap the person next to you. The title of my talk this morning is Not Another Mantra. So tap the person next to you and say, not another mantra. Now I want you to turn to the person you ignored. Tap them too. And say, not another mantra. I know y'all ignored somebody. Not another mantra. Shiloh, I've got to let y'all know something about me. Maybe this is the wrong Sunday to share this, Bishop, but it feels important. I remember growing up, and I've got to be honest, growing up in my Haitian Baptist church in Boston, where service was from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., where we were in church Sunday and Monday for choir rehearsal, and midweek Wednesday, and Thursday Bible study, and Friday youth group, and Saturday morning, and we was in church. Woo! We were in church, but I've got to be honest this morning, one of my least favorite Sundays was back to school Sunday. Now listen, y'all got it done right here. The students are involved, the kids are engaged, but growing up, this was my least favorite Sunday. And it's not because I was forced to be a part of the choir. It's not because I had to go to rehearsal multiple times a week. It's not because we all got called up at the end of service to be prayed for. It's not because the elders and deacons would take a gob of oil and put it on our head. None of those reasons. Actually, the reason that I really didn't like back to school Sunday for me was because it meant that summer was ending. It meant I couldn't stay up as late. It meant I had to do my summer reading for school. It meant I couldn't hang out with my friends as much. I couldn't watch TV, couldn't watch video games. I had to start waking up early. The weather was getting colder. I didn't enjoy back to school Sunday, not because of the Sunday itself, but because of what it meant. Now, if there ever was a silver lining, I think it was that the start of every year meant the chance for a fresh start, a chance to try something new, a chance to look back and maybe see what you would have done differently, a chance to set some goals, get some inspiration for the year. Maybe you're trying to grow in discipline, or you're trying to be a bit more active, learn a new skill, actually do homework this year. or there are some habits in your life that you want to change. A new year, whether it's the start of school, New Year's Day, or even a birthday, can become the catalyst or potential for change, the ability to set yourself in the right direction. Is there anyone like me who enjoys setting goals and casting vision for the year? There we go, we got a couple folk in the room. It's one of my favorite things about the start of the new year. And I know not everyone is like that, right? My wife, she would think that a five-year plan is useless. And I could hear my grandma's voice in the background saying, listen, Benji, I know you have all these plans, but you gotta follow it with if the Lord wills. I hear that, but give me a vision board to write my hopes for the year. Give me the space to dream for the year ahead, a friend to hold me accountable, and it's like Christmas. That's all I need. And usually my favorite part about setting goals and planning is to find a word for the year, a word that'll set the course for the year that's ahead of me. In years past, it's been words like beloved, right? For me to remember that before any of my gifts, before anything I could do for the Lord, I need to remember that I'm a son, deeply loved and created by the Lord. Been at churches where the church word for the year was something like legacy, where we thought about what it meant as a church to leave an impact in the community around us. Other churches I've been at, the word for them was faithful for the year, because they wanted to set a goal, they wanted to set a direction for them to trust God in the year ahead. Choose a word, and it's like a mantra, right? Something that you could find courage in, something you can find support in, something that you can trust that no matter what, this is what will drive me this year. For Joshua and the people of Israel, their word from the Lord, their direction as a community was, be strong and courageous. You see, for the people of Israel, they were stepping into a completely new space and territory. First five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, detail their history. And it includes several stories, awesome stories of God at work on behalf of his people through Adam, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, Joseph, the dreamer. God showed his hand at work. The story wasn't always easy. See, yet, right before this moment, they were a people who had experienced loss, experienced death, and experienced slavery to Egypt. But even in the midst of slavery, God was at work, raising a young man named Moses, a Hebrew born into the palace, a minority raised alongside his oppressors that led to the freedom of his people. For the people of Israel, Moses was the actual representation that there was a God at work. The actual visible representation that God was present. God has used him to set the people free, split the Red Sea, free them from their enemies in Egypt. They had histories and stories of the Lord's faithfulness. But at this point, Moses is dead. That great man, that great leader, Moses, has died. And the elders of this young community have also died. So now this people, Israel, as they're embarking into the promised land where the Lord had called them to go, they had a new leader named Joshua. Joshua, a man who faithfully pursued God, but he wasn't Moses. And here they are. Right after Moses' death, looking ahead of them into the promises of God. And you could hear them asking, will God still be with us? Will the promise of the Lord remain? See, the words be strong and courageous aren't spoken to people who have strength and courage, but to people who are lacking in doubt. People who are worried, people who are struggling to trust, people who have lost their confidence. Can you imagine it? The fear and anticipation. the excitement and anxiety, the hope and despair. They needed a specific word from God. And the Lord says to them, be strong and courageous. Church, I elevated my voice because these aren't words that you whisper. These are words with power from the Lord. These are words that have some strength behind them. A resounding phrase repeated three times in nine verses. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Did you know, as of May 2021, the Household Pulse Survey, a survey that does data on the United States, reported that 30% of American adults had symptoms consistent with anxiety and depression. Another research institution, Barna, conducted a study finding 49% of U.S. 18 to 35-year-olds have expressed and experienced anxiety with dealing with important decisions to be made. 39% saying they often felt sad or depressed. 34% believing they are lonely and isolated from others. Family, this morning, are you lacking strength and courage? Then receive the words the Lord spoke to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Students, I know there might be fear of going back to school because the world that we live in cannot find justice and reform in bringing guns into school. But hear the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I know your family situation feels broken. Your marriage is on the rocks and you feel like you are all alone. But hear the word of the Lord to Joshua and the people. Say, be strong and courageous. Church, I know the world is changing. And we don't always know which way to go, what to trust. But hear the word of the Lord to Joshua and the people. Be strong and courageous. We've even seen in New London in the past years, our kids die to violence. Bridges burned, accidents happening, so much turmoil, gentrification on the way. Our people are being removed. Church, hear me and hear the words of the Lord unto Joshua and the people of Israel. Be strong and courageous. And if the brawl, the fight in Montgomery has taught us anything, it's that the plight of being black in America is still an uphill climb. But hear the words the Lord spoke to Joshua and the people of Israel. Be strong and courageous. It's funny, I remember about 3 years ago, I love a mantra, right? I love a phrase that I can stick to. And about 3 years ago, around the time of January, I had a mantra. It was about vision. And I and many pastors and preachers started off the year in January talking about 2020 vision. Y'all remember. This was to be our best year yet. Where we turned our vision to see what God was doing among us. And January came and that vision, that mantra carried us through. 2020 vision, woo! This is going to be different. We're going to be faithful. We're going to see the Lord at work. February came, and that mantra continued to be our guide. God is at work. Look at that vision. But then something happened in March. Something happened in March where the world was shut down by a global pandemic, and we all scrambled. We all tried to figure out where do we go? What do we do? My mantra was 2020 vision, but I think throughout the year, Netflix caught my vision more than anything. I gotta be honest with you all this morning. I had a mantra, and it was good. But like most of us know, when rubber hits the road, when life's challenges arise, the problem with a mantra is it's just a word. Might give us a boost for a little bit. Might give us some strength and encouragement for a season, but a mantra can't change the situations we're in. It's just the word. The mantra that once fueled you, the mantra that once gave you direction, energy, and vision can simply become stagnant and dead words. Give it a few weeks, months, and that mantra might become a distant memory. Be strong and courageous. Family, I love those words. And those words are important. It's why we're studying them today. But I have to ask, when did the church become more about getting hyped than leaving transformed? See, I could tell you this morning that the key to this year for you is to be strong and courageous. And we could have a praise party, run around the building like we used to do in the old days. But if that's coming from me, then it's just words. It's just a mantra. If that's all we do here, then we're simply gathering to hear a motivational talk rather than to hear and connect with our Creator. If that's all we do, we're just looking for a new mantra. Church, when did the Bible become a self-help book to help us launch our business? Where we take God's words and manipulate them into new mantras that have more to do with us than God's plan for the world around us. I hope I'm not stepping on toes this morning. As a church, we've started to believe God cares more about our business ideas than for those that are lost and do not know Him. Our call to be faithful guideposts pointing people to the risen Christ and Savior. And I'm not saying God doesn't care about your dreams. I'm not saying God doesn't care about your hopes, your desires, your vocation, your work that you do. But some of us have been repeating, be strong and courageous for 20 years and still in the same situation. Still anxious, still untrusting, still creating division and thinking God's word is only about me. Barna, the research study I mentioned earlier, they did their study in 2020, their largest study ever, finding that 59% of pastors struggle with depression. A number that continues to grow for pastors and congregations alike. See, my fear this morning is that we would hear the call to be strong and courageous and turn it into a mantra that we hold on to a week or two, but forget it as the problems of life continue. Church, can I help you this morning? Be strong and courageous. That's a good word, but that's not the most important word in this text. It's a nice word, but we don't need a new mantra. It's a good word. It's an important word. It's the word of God, but it's not the most important words in this text. There are five words in this text, Bishop. Five words. Y'all want to hear the five words? Five most important words are this. The Lord spoke to Joshua. See, a couple people missed it, so I need to repeat it for this side of the room. The five most important words of this text is the Lord spoke to Joshua. Bishop, by the confused faces in the room, I think a couple people don't understand why that's an important word. I could hear, I could see the eyes, I could hear your mind think, Pastor Benji, you said that be strong and courageous is repeated 3 times in 9 verses. That sounds pretty important. Family is true. But the 5 most important words are the Lord spoke to Joshua. Here's why. Because we serve the God of the universe that speaks to his creation. We serve the God that created, and though he doesn't need to, still chooses to speak to his creation. Oh, God speaks. It's funny, I'm the youngest of siblings, 3 siblings. I got an older sister, older brother. I'm the baby. And most people, when they meet me, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. That hurts. But as younger siblings, we had some privileges. But one of the things I remember looking back, it's not a bad thing, but the reality of life was that because I was the youngest, I got a lot of hand-me-downs. We didn't need new books because I could use my sister's and brother's books. We didn't always need new toys because I could use them again, and I could wear my brother's clothes. But I remember going to college and meeting a friend who told me about this divine ministry called the tailor. And I found out that I could bring them my jeans, or I could bring them my shirt and get them custom fit for me. The clothes that I had growing up, they were good, but they weren't for me. But the tailor, that was custom. That was made with me in mind. It wasn't a hand-me-down. It wasn't for someone else. It was perfectly secured for me. It fit me. Bishop, why is this important? Because we believe that a God spoke to Joshua, then that same God could speak today. See, I'm grateful for the God that spoke to Joshua. And I'm grateful for the God that spoke to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I'm grateful for the God who spoke to Abraham through a promise. I'm grateful for the God that spoke not just to Father Abraham, but also to the offspring and descendants as well. I'm grateful for the God who spoke to judges like Deborah. I'm grateful for the God that spoke to a young boy named Samuel. I'm grateful for a God that spoke to kings, mighty kings and leaders. I'm grateful for the God that spoke to the unseen and unheard. I'm grateful for the God that spoke to Dr. King and Fannie Lou Hamer. I'm grateful for the God that spoke to my grandmama and my parents and the many clouds of witnesses before me. I'm grateful for the God that speaks to you, Bishop. But when I learned God wanted to speak to me directly, that I didn't need hand-me-downs. I didn't need a word that was perfectly constructed for someone else, but God had an on-time word that spoke to my situation, spoke to the community of faith. There was a custom message for me and the church today. That changed the game. Oh, that changed the game, the way that we operated. So this year, we don't need another mantra, church. Maybe the most important thing that we need is to grow in our ability to hear God speak. Friends, I don't want us to be a people who settle for one word to shape our year. We must be a people that receive our daily bread, our daily sustenance from the Lord, rather than to hold on to mantras that have gone stale. And in a word that is so busy with so many voices and there's always a notification happening, we must create the space to hear from God. So if we look at this text, recognizing that God speaking is maybe the most important part, then Joshua leaves us some helpful notes. And I only got 5 more minutes, so I'm gonna run through this. Number one, God's words redirect our focus. See, in verse 2, God says to the people, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Moses had died. Though the people are fearful and discouraged, God reminds them they must continue on. It would be natural human tendency for them to shy away, for them to pause, for them to think, we cannot do this without Moses. He was the leader. He was God's representation on the world. But God pushes their focus away from Moses to the land he promised. His words began to transform them from a community of fear and timidity to one of strength and courage. And that's a word for us today, because the psalmist reminds us in chapter 121 that our help does not come from the hills, but our help comes from the Lord. That when we grow in our ability to turn to the Lord more than our troubles, the coping mechanisms we have, the friendships that we have, our perspectives will shift so that we can better see and hear the Lord at work. Point number two, God's words affect more than just me. The Bible tells us over and over that God had a plan. God has a plan, and that plan has begun thousands of years before we ever hopped on the scene. The biblical text is the story of different men and women hearing God's voice and joining into God's plan. God's plan for salvation, God's plan for hope, God's plan for restoration, God's plan for resurrection and for the world. We would be wrong to even assume that God's plan for Joshua even revolves around Joshua. Over and over, the focus of God's plan is more about the people, and Joshua is simply the vessel. Verse 2, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people into the land I am giving them. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. To be clear, there are some specific promises for Joshua, but Joshua's success isn't the end goal. It's that the people might see God is still faithful and still at work. Young people, you want to grow in your ability to hear God's voice? Begin to pray for things that affect more than you. God wants us to share our worries with him, but as people who know God, part of our call, part of our invitation is to intercede for others. Pray for your classmates. Pray for your schools. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the people who keep hating on you in the lunchroom. Pray for those who are against you. See, as we learn to pray for others, we then begin, like Joshua, to see God is actually using us as a vessel to answer the prayers that we've prayed. My last word, my last point is this. God's words are connected to God's promises. I love how all throughout the passage, there's a deep repetition of the emphasis of a God at work. See, God's plan and prize, God is the primary actor. So verse 2 says it like this, therefore the time has come for you to lead these people into the land I am giving them. Verse 3, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given to you. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail or abandon you. We're not done. We're not done. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to your ancestors. I would give them. Verse 9, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God, I am with you wherever you go. Friends, this text has a lot more to do with the faithfulness of God than anyone else. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. And in a world that struggles with anxiety, depression, hopelessness, isolation, we need to hear that word today. The God who promises he will never leave us is huge. It's huge, church. Family, this year, God will not leave you at school. God will not leave you in your classes. God will not leave you at the bus stop. God will not leave you at home. God will not leave you when you're with your family. God will not leave you. Do we receive it this morning? This is God's word to God's people. His word to Joshua was to be strong and courageous. Joshua was a great man. And because he heard from the Lord and continued hearing from the Lord, he successfully led the people to the promised land, the place that the Lord had promised them. Oh, but Bishop, there's a man greater than Joshua. Funny enough, they share the same name.
Yes, sir.
See, Joshua in the Hebrew means Jehovah saves. But you put that in the Greek, it means Jesus. Y'all know that man. The man from Nazareth. You see, like Joshua, Jesus was the son that fulfilled the promises of the Lord. Like Joshua, Jesus focused on hearing the voice of the Father. And though there were many enemies that stood in between him and the promise, Jesus conquered them all. He secured the victory for us on Calvary. And though Joshua's victory was for the people of Israel, the children of Israel, Jesus' victory is for all the children of God. Joshua's only a shadow of Jesus, the man who secured the victory for us, freeing us from the pain of sin, the sting of death, from anxiety and injustice, freeing us from police brutality, freeing us from hypocrisy, from the brokenness around us in the world. Was not his life, death, and resurrection purposely meant to make a way so that we might hear from the Father? See, a mantra is just the word, stagnant and stale, Bishop. But I'm so grateful that through God's goodness and grace, there is a better word. The word that John says was made flesh. The word that does have life and power. The word that is alive and active. The word sharper than any two-edged sword. That word, Jesus. That word, Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings resurrection. Jesus is the one that brings hope. Jesus is the one that restores dead marriages, dead friendships and situations. Jesus is the one that could heal the brokenhearted, who could mend those in anxiety. Jesus is his name. That word can change situations. That word can change circumstances. Oh, and family, we serve a Jesus that didn't just live and die, but that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, full of glory, full of power, full of authority, and he wants to speak to you. Church, do you know that Jesus? Do you know that man of Calvary? I want to invite you all to just close your eyes and bow your heads. I'd be remiss to not note that not everyone might know this man named Jesus, the great Savior and Messiah. And with every eye closed, every head bowed in this room this morning, if you're here and maybe you're actually online as well, but you say, I want to know this man, Jesus, would you just shoot up your hand? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything special, but I am going to ask you to just keep your hand raised. Jesus, you're here.
Thank you, Jesus.
God, we praise you. God, we worship you. I'm trying to end, Bishop. I'm trying to close. Oof. If your hand is raised, I want you to repeat after me. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I have turned away from you. But I acknowledge that I need your help. Help me to hear from you.
Yes.
To follow you.
To follow.
To trust that there is good in store with you.
Good in store with you.
God, I give you my life.
I give you my mantras, my plans.
And I trade them in so that I can hear your voice. God, you're so worthy.
Yes, God.
We praise you and we honor you.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, we all say.
Amen.
And we want to do one last prayer just for the students that are going back to school. And so if you're a student, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front. I know I told y'all this was my least favorite part of back to school Sunday, but I know this is holy ground. So if you're a student, please come up to the front. If you're a teacher as well, we invite you to the front. And congregation, I just ask that you would extend your hands to these children. You all can close your eyes. I just want to pray over you all. Before we do, I want you to turn around. I want you to see your family. I want you to see those who are praying for you, those who are trusting that the Lord will hold and sustain you this year. And so let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that this year will be our students' best year yet. Not because they found another mantra, God, but because you want to speak to them. And so would you speak to them in the intimate moments of the night? Would you speak to them on the ride to school? Would you speak to them as they're at home, as they're with their friends? Holy Spirit, even now, would you open their ears to hear all that you would say? Oh God, we thank you in advance that our schools locally will be protected by you. God, we pray that your spirit would go before us to New London High School, to Fitch High School, to Grian, to Tech. God, we pray for Connecticut College. We pray for Mitchell, Three Rivers, UConn, Avery Point, the Coast Guard Academy. And we believe these will be places of revival. We believe that you can speak with your kids. We believe that you are doing something new today. And so, God, would you give them eyes to see your goodness, ears to hear you at work, a heart to trust your spirit's movement, and the feet to move. Lord, we submit this day to you. God, we seal this day in. 22 minutes over, but God, your spirit is here. Jesus, we thank you in advance because there is no name greater than your name. Nothing we can say but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What is man that you are mindful of them, Lord, and yet you as creator speak to us. And so God, we lock this moment into eternity. God, we thank you for the hands that were raised in prayer earlier because they are now children, sons, and daughters of you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we thank you. And congregation, I need you to say it with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. God bless you.